Chapter 8. Tori. After our double cardinal magic class with Professor Asshat, we followed a trailing line of students towards the orb for lunch. The glimmering golden building was even more breathtaking in the sunlight, and I was so caught up in looking at it that I didn't notice the four heirs standing by the entrance until we were almost on top of them. Darcy muttered a curse beneath her breath as she spotted them, her fingers curling around my wrist in warning. I exchanged a loaded glance with her and held my chin high as we drew closer. By some miracle, they didn't seem to have noticed us, and the four of them headed inside before we were forced to pass them. We merged into a group of excitable juniors who were discussing something called pitball in loud voices and made our way to the lunch queue unnoticed. I wasn't going to hide from the heirs, but drawing their attention on purpose seemed like a stupid idea even to me. "What do you think we should do about the messages from Falling Star?" Darcy asked me as she chewed on her thumbnail. "I don't know," I admitted. "It seems like everyone in this place is either threatened by us or wants something from us, and they already dropped us in it with Orion, even if their assessment of him was pretty damn funny." Darcy snorted a laugh. "I wonder if he really does stink of bourbon." "Well, you can find out in your private class with him tonight," I joked, and she winced in response. We made it to a counter where so many meal choices lay waiting for us that I felt like I'd walked into a restaurant instead of a school cafeteria. A sign informed us that we could take anything cold from the display or order hot food for table service. As I was deciding what kind of meal I'd prefer, a squeal of excitement caught my ear, quickly followed by a cry of, "Your Majesties have secured a table for you!" I began to turn my head, but Darcy yanked on my arm, making me duck into the group of juniors again. "It's that crazy ass girl again," she hissed. "Let's just grab something and get out of here before the heirs hear her calling us her queens." I snorted a laugh as Darcy grabbed a couple of huge subs for us and let her guide me through the crowd towards the exit. I paused at a wide refrigerator, which seemed to be made out of a huge block of ice, and grabbed us a couple of drinks before glancing back into the room. A tall girl with long brown hair was waving maniacally in our direction, and I bit my lip as I ducked outside after my sister. "The people here are all insane," Darcy grumbled as she picked a path at random, and we began the hunt for somewhere to enjoy our food in peace. "They're either ecstatic to welcome back their long-lost queens, or furious at us for coming back to steal some throne." "I know. It's like it never even occurred to them to ask if we want their stupid throne. I mean, the fairy tale version of finding out you're a princess is great and all, but in reality, I imagine there's a hell of a lot of work involved with running an empire, and we have zero qualifications to take on that role." "Yeah, let the stupid heirs keep their damn throne," Darcy agreed. "I just want my magic. And our inheritance," I added with a grin. "Yeah, and that. Even more so since Darius burned everything we owned," she replied darkly, and I had to grind my teeth to stop myself from stringing together yet another line of curses about the Ignis House captain. Darcy had had to listen to over an hour of it last night anyway, and calling him any more names wouldn't bring our cash back. Darcy handed me the sub she'd snagged for me in the orb, and I swapped it for the bottle of pink lemonade I'd gotten her. We ate as we walked, and I couldn't help but groan aloud at the amazing flavor combination which danced across my taste buds. There was cheese and salad and some kind of sauce that was sweet and salty at once. On our meager income, meals were plain and semi-nourishing. The best food I'd eaten recently was the odd dinner Joey had offered up at the bar, and as much as I'd loved the greasy burger and fries at the time, it really couldn't hold a candle to this. "Holy shit, I'd stay here for the food alone," I moaned as I licked the last of the sauce from my fingers and tipped the delicious lemonade down my throat to follow it. "It sure puts Pete's efforts at sausage and mash to shame," Darcy agreed with a laugh. Our former foster parent had the skills to cook precisely three meals under his belt, and the other two were frozen pizzas. If I never ate a sausage again, it would be too soon. Our walk had taken us into an area to the north of the academy grounds, which was marked as Earth territory on our maps. We were surrounded by every shade of green imaginable, and stunning flowers blooming in every color under the sun. The map showed the grounds were divided into four sections, one for each of the elements, and I was beginning to realize that the division was about more than just a name. The entire landscape was molded by the element which named it, and stepping between them was like moving between different continents. To our left, a sloping green hill filled with wildflowers curved away from us, and I fell still as I spotted a creature swooping from the sky to land on the soft grass. I grabbed Darcy's arm, unable to form a word as my lips parted at the sight before me. A whole herd of stunning winged unicorns landed before ambling through the meadow, their coats gleaming in sparkling metallic colors from silver to bronze and gold to pinks, yellows, and even green. Their coats were sprinkled with glitter, and their long golden horns caught the sunlight like they were made from polished metal. "No freaking way," Darcy breathed. A small stallion looked up at the sound of her voice, and we froze, worried we'd startled him. But the beautiful silver creature simply looked at us curiously. My lips curved into a smile which grew uncontrollably. I mean, I wasn't usually a girly girl, but this was a goddamn flying unicorn. I had to stamp down on the squeal of excitement that was bubbling in my chest as the unicorn trotted towards us. "Oh my God," Darcy gasped as he came to stand directly in front of us. I tentatively reached out a hand, wondering if the glorious creature would allow me to touch its sparkling coat. The unicorn's eyes seemed to glimmer with amusement, and he leaned forward so that my finger swept over his soft nose and into his mane. Darcy reached out too, running her fingers along the side of his face and down his neck. The unicorn pressed closer, rubbing the side of his face against my chest and eliciting a laugh from me. He pressed his face against Darcy next, and she grinned like a Cheshire cat as she wrapped her arms around his neck. A pink unicorn trotted close, eyeing us for a moment before whinnying at the stallion as he pressed his nose against my neck. The stallion snorted in a way that seemed weirdly dismissive, and the pink unicorn stamped her foot before moving into the trees to our left. "Stop it, Tyler!" Sophia's voice came from the trees the pink unicorn had just entered, and I flinched in surprise, wondering where the hell she'd come from. The silver unicorn pushed his face against my chest again, and I ran my hand along his neck in response. "They don't know what you are," Sophia said angrily as she stomped out of the bushes with her skirt on backwards and her shirt only half done up. She continued buttoning it as she stalked toward us barefoot, glaring at the silver unicorn like he'd done something to offend her. "Be careful you don't scare him," I began, but the unicorn beside me let out a snort which sounded annoyed before suddenly lurching towards me and turning into a boy with frosted tips in his hair and a huge grin on his face. He also happened to be butt naked, which apparently didn't faze him in the slightest. My hand, which had been pressed to the unicorn's neck, was now planted on his chest. I snatched it back with a cry of disgust, and Darcy let out a scream, jerking backwards and falling on her ass.
"Well, now we've gotten the foreplay out of the way, are you girls going to be coming back to my room?"
Tyler asked me and Darcy with a wink. "You were a unicorn," Darcy yelled in confusion as my brain struggled to comprehend what had just happened.
"Pegasus,"
Tyler corrected.
"And you two were all over me."
His grin was widening, if that was even possible, and I suddenly caught on to what he was saying. The beautiful creature we'd just been petting had actually been him. "Did you nuzzle my chest?" I asked in disgust.
"Yeah,"
Tyler replied, dropping his gaze to my breasts, which were thankfully hidden beneath my shirt. My fist snapped out on instinct, and I caught him unprepared, hitting him in the jaw and sending him stumbling back.
"Shit,"
he swore, clutching his face. "What the hell is wrong with you?" Darcy demanded as she regained her feet and moved to stand shoulder to shoulder with me.
"Hey, how was I supposed to know that you didn't realize what I was?"
Tyler asked as he started to back up.
"You seemed just as into it as me."
"That's because we thought we were stroking a wild animal, not getting molested by some horse-faced weirdo," I snarled. Sophia snorted in amusement at my dig, and Tyler kept backing away as Darcy raised her hands at him threateningly.
Okay, okay. I'm sorry,
Tyler said placatingly.
I'll get out of your hair.
He lurched forward like he was going to fall over, but before his hands could hit the floor, they turned into hooves, and the rest of his body transformed into the beautiful silver Pegasus again. I couldn't help but stare as he trotted up the hill towards the rest of the herd, and Sophia offered me an apologetic shrug.
Sorry about him, she muttered. Shame you can't choose who gets to be in your order.
You were the pink Pegasus? I asked in realization, and she nodded shyly.
Yeah, we replenish our power by flying through the clouds, and I was just charging up before our fire elemental class next, she explained.
Like turning into a goddamn flying unicorn was no big deal. I struggled for something to say about that, but I just couldn't think of a damn thing.
Actually, I think we'd better get going, Sophia continued, breezing past our shock like she hadn't noticed it. We've only got 20 minutes until class begins, and the fire arena is all the way at the south end of the grounds.
I don't have fire next, Darcy said as she glanced at her timetable on her atlas. I've got air. I think Diego said he'd be there too, though. That's good. At least there are two normal people in this place for us to talk to, I said. Although as Sophia headed off to find her socks, shoes, and blazer in the bushes, I had to wonder if normal really applied to someone who spent their spare time with hooves. Darcy gave me a knowing smile as she pulled up the map to her next class on her atlas, and she said goodbye to Sophia and me as she took a path that led to the east of the grounds. I was a little disappointed to be heading in separate directions for our very first real magic class, but it was one of only a few where we would be separated. Sophia fell into step with me as we headed towards House Ignis and the arena beyond it, where we were about to have our first elemental lesson. It took a while to cross out of Earth territory and into Fire territory in the south, but Sophia kept me amused with facts about her order as we went, and I slowly recovered from my shock. The midday sun shone down on the home of the fire students as we drew close to it, and my lips parted in surprise. Last night it had been so dark that I'd really only seen the entrance to the building, with the multiple fires ruining my night vision and blocking my view of the rest. What I hadn't realized was that from the first floor up, the building was entirely made of glass in varying shades of yellow, orange, and red, which all blended together to give the impression of a huge, glimmering fire.
From above, it looks like a star, Sophia commented, noticing my attention on the building.
How did they create such a thing? I asked in wonder. No doubt magic was involved, but I just couldn't picture the amount of work that had gone into it. The design alone boggled my mind.
Fire magic, of course, and I think there was probably some dragon fire involved too. We'll learn more about magical infrastructure in our sophomore year.
You mean we'll learn to make things like that? I asked eagerly, unable to tear my eyes away from the magical building. As we walked, the sun caught on different pieces of the glass, and it almost looked like it was truly burning.
Well, creating that might be a little ambitious, Sophia laughed. But we will learn to use our elemental magic more subtly for creation, yeah.
I couldn't help but grin at the idea of that. We passed Ignis House and followed the path around through the fire territory where the landscape was rocky and dry. I hadn't had time to explore air or water territory yet, but I had glimpsed a huge forest to the east and a sweeping lake to the west on my way to Cardinal Magic earlier. A creeper filled with bright red flowers clung to a wall of black lava rock to my right, and I noticed more plants peppered around too. Although the fire landscape seemed barren at first, the harder I looked, the more beautiful it became. We moved along a crevice cut between two rock faces, which glimmered with yellow and gold minerals.
That's brimstone, Sophia said, noticing my interest again.
You're a walking, talking encyclopedia, you know that? I teased. Not that I was complaining. I had zero idea what I was dealing with in this place, and her knowledge was invaluable to me.
I like facts. I'm a Sagittarius, which helps. We love learning new things and are usually pretty intelligent,
she replied with a smirk. The serious way she said that made me attempt to squash the snort of disbelief which wanted to be set loose.
I guessed I was going to have to try and open my mind to all this star sign stuff if I wanted to fit in here. "Is that so?" I asked, trying to keep my skepticism at bay. "Yep, and I have a damn good memory, too, which should help me ace the tests and make up for my lack of power somewhat." "Are you lacking power, then?" I asked delicately, unsure if that was okay to say, but she was the one who'd brought it up. "Yeah, my family are pretty low on the rankings when it comes to power. If you imagine yourself as a 10, I'd be like a 3, I guess," she shrugged. "Our world is all about power, so it means I'm kind of destined to stay at the bottom of the food chain, but I don't really mind. I mean, at least I don't have to worry about seizing and holding my position for the rest of my life, you know?" "Not really. But I think I'm going to find out pretty soon whether I like it or not."
Yeah, I'd say so. Your whole life is going to be a power struggle," she said with a grin.
"Perfect," I sighed. "What if I were to say I don't want whatever power it is that I'm supposed to claim? I just want to use my own magic for my own purposes and have nothing to do with any birthright or throne or heirs." Sophia's laughter cut me off, and I raised an eyebrow at her. "I wasn't joking," I said firmly.
"Oh, God, Tori," she said, reining herself in a little. "You really don't know anything about our world. I'd love to say that you could just run off into the sunset, but that's never going to happen."
"Well, damn," I replied half-heartedly. I still had no plans to do any of the things that were expected of me, but at least I had my answer about one thing. There was no way I was going to be able to just bow out of the running for power and avoid the attention of the other heirs as I'd hoped. Maybe I could talk to them and tell them that I didn't want their power, though. They couldn't be completely unreasonable. We exited the crevice filled with brimstone, and the scent of sulfur assaulted my nostrils. I looked around until I spotted curling tendrils of steam rising along the land to our right, and the glimmer of water in the distance. "Is that hot springs?" I asked eagerly.
"Oh, yeah. That's where fire meets with the territory of water. I've heard it's the best place to go for a swim and relax. We should head over after class one evening and try it out," Sophia replied enthusiastically.
"I don't have a bikini," I said with a shrug, though the idea of a swim in the springs was definitely tempting, so long as the water wasn't too deep. A few years ago, I'd had a traumatizing accident, and ever since then, the mere thought of deep water gave me the creeps.
"Didn't you bring one from home? I'm sure it was on the list of recommended."
The only things I brought from home were the clothes on my back and a pocket full of cash, and Darius saw to destroying them last night. I replied darkly.
"Oh, yeah. I might have heard about that after I made it through my initiation last night. It sounds like he went a bit far with you."
"So he didn't burn the clothes from your body then?" I asked, figuring I already knew the answer. That particular trial had been specially designed for my benefit.
No. But then I'm not very powerful, like I said, so I wouldn't really expect him to take any notice of me anyway."
Sophia dropped her gaze to the path beneath her feet as I let out a huff of irritation. Trust me to get on the wrong side of an overgrown entitled prick within half an hour of arriving, I muttered. Sophia gasped, glancing around to check if anyone had heard me.
"You might want to keep that opinion to yourself if you don't want it getting back to him. The heirs have a lot of fans, and I wouldn't trust anyone to keep quiet on your behalf."
"I'm fairly sure Darius and his bromance crew know exactly what I think of them without me needing to worry about hiding it. Besides, if he asked me, I'd happily tell him to his face that I think he's a jumped-up little asswipe who needs to get a new hobby which doesn't involve tormenting people." Sophia's mouth fell open, and I could tell she was caught between shock and laughter. I was glad when a giggle finally escaped her. As we came to the end of the path, a huge building rose up ahead of us. It looked a bit like the Colosseum where the gladiators had fought in ancient Rome, but the brickwork was all black. Our conversation stalled as I stared up at the stone dragons and gargoyles, who glared at us from their positions along the wall above our heads. We moved beneath an arch and found a female professor with short red hair and deep bronze skin waiting for us. Come along, girls. You need to get changed and out into the arena, she commanded, not bothering with introductions. My timetable had informed me her name was Professor Pyro, and I offered her a faint smile as I hurried to comply with her instructions. Sophia and I made it into the girls' changing rooms, where a row of hooks held bags with our names written on them. I lifted the one with Roxania Vega scrawled across it, my nose wrinkling at the name I refused to accept as my own. There must have been someone I could talk to about changing everything official to say Tori. I could cope with the Vega thing if I had to, but Roxania was a girl who should have grown up in this strange fae world, and I wasn't her. Tori had been my name throughout everything that had shaped me into the person I was today, and I had no interest in shedding that persona now or in the future. I opened the bag and pulled out a matching pair of deep red leggings and a long-sleeved shirt. The material felt almost silky, but it was stretchy at the same time. I swapped my uniform for it and eyed myself in the mirror for a moment as I adjusted my black hair. The outfit was skin-tight and accentuated my curves in a way that somehow drew more attention to them than it would have done if more skin was on show. Though, as I'd literally paraded around naked in front of most of the members of House Ignis last night, I didn't imagine it mattered. I pulled on a pair of white sneakers last, and waited while Sophia finished changing too. Some more girls were arriving, and I noticed more than one hostile glare aimed my way as I glanced between them. Not wanting to engage in any further altercations with my classmates, I quickly hurried out into the arena with Sophia.
I'm so excited about this class, she admitted as we moved out into an open stadium filled with sand.
My first impression of thinking it looked like the Colosseum was only compounded as I looked up at the stands which ringed the arena. Around the walls, four plinths were lit with crackling fires and alternated with four gurgling water fountains. As I took another step, the ground beneath my feet lurched, and I almost fell flat on my face. I wheeled my arms to steady myself, and the earth shuddered again. I tipped backwards, wondering what the hell was happening to me, just as strong arms caught me. Thanks, I cut myself off as I looked up at my savior and found Caleb Altair grinning down at me, his mess of blonde curls making him look almost angelic in the midday sun. But I knew he was no angel.
You want to watch out for that. The ground around here can be mighty unpredictable, he purred, and I suddenly remembered that he was the leader of House Terra, the Earth House. No prizes for guessing who'd made the ground shudder beneath my feet.
Sophia shuffled away from us, but I couldn't blame her for wanting to avoid the attention of the Terra heir. Right, I'll be sure to do that. I snatched my arms out of his grip and tried to step back, but the earth lurched beneath me again and I was knocked to the ground. Tittering laughter rang out around me as some of the other students drew close to watch, and I scrambled to push myself upright again. Before I could, Caleb dropped down, straddling me with a wicked grin which revealed his lengthening canines. Oh, for the love of God, I snarled as I slammed my palms into his chest. You'd better not be about to— He caught my wrists in an impossibly strong grip and shoved me back down to the ground as he buried his teeth in my neck. I let my sailor's mouth loose on him, cursing him with every foul name I could think of, and adding a few colorful new creations to the mix as well. I could feel my blood and power shifting out of my body and into his, and it made my stomach roll with disgust. The laughter around me grew as I tried to buck him off, but he was like a goddamn ton of bricks. Superhuman strength in a superhuman leech.
That's more than enough, Altair, Professor Pyro muttered, her tone bored instead of reprimanding. She needs some energy left if she's going to be able to perform in my class today.
Caleb removed his fangs from my neck, and I watched in morbid fascination as they withdrew into normal-looking teeth again. He licked the last drops of my blood from his lips as he looked down at me, amusement flickering in his eyes.
You have no idea how good you taste,
he said without a hint of shame, and I scrunched my nose up in disgust.
You've got what you wanted from me, so why don't you just get the hell off of me? I snarled, yanking at my wrists again as he kept them pinned in the sand.
Caleb tilted his head as he regarded me, and a slow smile spread across his face.
You know,
I'm not sure I've ever fed from anyone who hates it quite as much as you do, he said almost to himself. The other Fae have grown up knowing about my kind, and they just accept this as part of the chain of power. But you...
Yeah, I hate it, I snarled. So why don't you get your kicks feeding off of someone who enjoys your twisted brand of creep and leave me alone? Caleb released me and jumped up, leaving me scrambling in the sand at his feet.
This girl is my personal source, he said loudly to the group who had gathered around us, which I realized had grown to at least 50 people. If any other vampire wants to feed from her, then they can take it up with me. Spread the word.
A weight built in my gut as I managed to regain my feet, and I glared at him. I'm not your personal anything, I snapped.
Feel free to try and stop me, sweetheart, he mocked. But until you manage it, you can consider yourself my own personal juice box.
A deep laugh drew my attention to my left, and I noticed Darius goddamn Aycrux watching this interaction with amusement. Why did he have to be here to witness this? Why did there have to be four of them at all? I just wanted to keep my head down and get on with my own business. But I was beginning to realize that the heirs had zero intention of letting me or my sister do that.
Well, if all of the vampires are fully replenished, I'd like to get on with my lesson, Professor Pyro announced, putting an end to any further discussion about the ownership of my blood.
I simmered with rage as I forced my attention to the teacher, firmly turning my back on Caleb and Darius. A deep growl emitted from one of them, and the hairs along the back of my neck stood on end. I remembered what they'd said yesterday about turning my back on them being an insult, but I didn't give a rat's ass. If they were content to torment me, then the last thing I'd be doing was showing them any respect.
As it's the first class for the freshmen, I want the rest of you to pair off and take some time reacquainting yourselves with the techniques you learned at the end of last year. You should have been practicing over the summer, and I'll be coming around to look for improvements once I've got these guys going.
Professor Pyro shooed the older students away, but Caleb and Darius stayed where they were, their gazes fixed on me.
What are you still doing here, boys? The last I checked, you were sophomores, Pyro said as she fixed the heirs in her penetrating gaze.
We just wanted to see how powerful the new heir really is, Darius said, and a wave of discomfort filled me as I realized they planned on watching my first attempt at wielding fire magic.
Well, unfortunately for you, ogling the new girl isn't part of the syllabus, she replied dismissively, shooing them again, and a little of the tension left my spine as the heirs retreated.
Darius cast one last look at me as he walked away, and I cursed myself for noticing the way the tight outfit clung to his muscular body before turning back to my teacher.
So, the task for today is simple. I want you to bring a flame to life in the palm of your hand and maintain it. If you can manage that, then I want you to form it into an orb. The tighter you wrap the power, the hotter it will burn. Don't get sloppy. Your suits will protect you from burns, but your hands and faces are vulnerable. It's down to your control over the flames to keep them from turning on you. If anyone is having trouble summoning the power from within yourself, then you may draw it from the sconces to conserve energy. Miss Vega, if your power has been too depleted by Mr. Altair to cast your own flame, then you'll have to use the sconces too.
My rage increased as I realized what she meant. Caleb might have weakened me enough to hurt my ability to perform in this class. Asshole. With a flicker of anger, I thrust my palm out in front of me and willed a flame to life. My hand burst alight so quickly that I had to flinch back as the flare of fire almost claimed my eyebrows as trophies. The beam of red flame shot right up into the sky and lit the low clouds with an orange glow before I snapped my fist shut in surprise, extinguishing it.
Holy cow,
Sophia muttered, and I glanced at her with wide eyes. Professor Pyro snorted a laugh.
Looks like we don't have to worry about your power being too diminished after all, she said appreciatively. You're going to have to work on your control if you've got that much to offer while you're only at half capacity.
A satisfied smile pulled up my lips as the flood of power faded from my veins. Sure that had scared the crap out of me,
but it had felt damn good, too. I could feel the heirs looking at me again, and I hoped my show of power was enough to make them leave me alone.
"Keep working on trying to build and maintain an orb," Pyro commanded as she began to move between the students,
and I tried to focus my mind on the task she'd set me. I took a deep breath, holding my hand out again as I willed a flame to life. This time, my whole hand was engulfed in a fireball as big as a Labrador, and I squeaked in surprise as I tried to rein it in. It shrank to a cocker spaniel, then lurched right to a bull mastiff before I was forced to extinguish it. Professor Pyro approached me when she'd made a round of the other freshmen and watched my attempts with a keen eye.
"Do you feel tired at all? Like you're starting to consume a lot of your reserves?" she asked with interest.
"I don't think so," I replied. "If anything, the longer I practiced, the more my magic reserves seemed to swell within me."
"Okay, let me see if I can help you to guide your power."
She moved close to me and took my left hand in hers. I looked at her in surprise, and she gave me a reassuring smile.
"We have to maintain contact skin to skin to be able to guide and channel another's power. My influence will only work on your magic while that contact is maintained."
"Okay," I agreed. "So you want me to try and create a ball again?"
"Yes, whenever you're ready."
I tried to ignore the fact that I was holding her hand and focused on my other palm instead as I held it out before me. I took a breath and focused on creating the smallest amount of fire as possible. An inferno blazed to life instantly, creating a spear that hit the sand at my feet and shot up way above my head at the same time. Professor Pyro's grip on my hand tightened, and I could feel the sway of her magic as she tried to coax mine under control. I attempted to copy what she was doing, wrapping my will around the unruly element as I gave all of my attention to creating a ball. Slowly, the flames began to shrink as the professor and I worked together to wrangle the beast which was my power. Finally, a ball of fire no bigger than a baseball sat above the palm of my hand, and I grinned at it triumphantly. It burned a deep red color, and I knew without having to touch it that it was as hot as the depths of a volcano. Professor Pyro dropped my hand and stumbled back. I lost control of the fire as I turned to her in shock, and it flared brightly before I managed to extinguish it again.
"I'm okay," she said ruefully as she stepped further away from me.
"What happened?" I asked, my brows pinching together with concern. A fine layer of sweat lined her skin, and her hands were trembling slightly.
"Nothing that a good dose of sunlight won't fix. Don't worry, my dear."
"I don't understand." I could tell that she wasn't feeling well at all, but the way she was trying to shrug it off made me feel like I'd been the cause of whatever was wrong with her.
"Did I hurt you?" "My own arrogance is what hurt me," she said with a shrug. "I thought to guide the power of an heir with my magic. When guiding someone else's power, my own is drained too. Think of it as trying to wrap a king-sized bed in a toddler's sheet."
"So your magic is gone?" I asked.
"For now, I find myself depleted," she confirmed with a nod. "I had thought that after your run-in with Mr. Altair, your stores would be low enough for me to contain. I won't be making the same mistake twice."
"So what now?" I asked. I hadn't been making any progress until she'd guided me, and I wasn't sure how easily I'd learn to harness my power if I wasn't able to work on it that way again.
"Now?"
Professor Pyro tapped her forefinger against her lips as she considered my options.
"There are two possible courses of action which could work. We could invite Mr. Altair to drain your energy to a much lower level so that you have less to deal with."
My features skewed with horror at the idea of requesting such a thing, and the professor's lips quirked with amusement.
"On second thought, that would only help in the very short term anyway," she admitted,
and I sagged with relief as she seemed to go off the idea.
"You need to be able to wrangle your powers at full strength, which means you need a tutor who is strong enough to handle you."
Her gaze wandered away from me, and I turned to see what she was looking at. On the far side of the arena, Darius and Caleb were locked in a battle of fire, which looked like something out of a movie. Darius directed a huge fire dragon to take pot shots at hundreds of fire snakes which were under Caleb's control. Though the dragon was much bigger than the snakes, the sheer number of them which Caleb had created made it difficult for Darius to maintain the advantage. It almost seemed like a game, and both of their faces were lit with smiles, but in their eyes raged a fierce competitive streak, which made it clear they were both playing to win. As I watched, a second dragon sprang to life, clambering out of the water fountain which was nearest to them, before diving headlong into the swarm of vipers. The fire creations didn't stand a chance, and as they spluttered out of existence, Darius gave a whoop of triumph, and the two dragons did a victory lap of the arena. "Always the cheat," Caleb mocked, folding his arms. Darius started laughing, and Caleb shot forward at a speed which didn't seem possible. The two of them collided and started throwing punches. I looked at the professor in surprise, expecting her to step in, but her gaze had fallen back on me. "There are only a few people whose power would be strong enough to keep yours in check," she said thoughtfully, and my stomach dropped as I realized where her train of thought had taken her. I did not want her to get off at this stop, but I had no idea what I was supposed to say to prevent the words from leaving her lips. "Caleb is good, but you might as well be taught by the best, so it'll have to be Darius." "But I what? What?" Professor Pyro was staring at me, and my mouth was opening and closing like a goldfish as I hunted for something, anything to say which would turn her from this idea. The last thing I wanted was to be indebted to Darius Aycrux, but the cogs in my brain were turning too slowly, and the only thing I could think to say was, "But he's mean to me and I don't like it," which would have made me seem like a pathetic little girl, even though it was the truth. "Principal Nova is assigning me a liaison to help me catch up, and I'm sure a teacher would be the best person to help me. Your liaison will be guiding you in a more practical role, teaching you about our world and how to live up to the standards expected of you. As strange as it may seem to you after spending a lifetime in the mortal world, the amount of power we each hold is something that we are born with. There are no teachers here strong enough to handle guiding your magic this way. Only the other heirs can rival you with their power. And even then, as twins born to Gemini who each hold all four elements, I'd wager they'll have their hands full." Her lips quirked for a moment, and I got the impression that that idea amused her. My mind whirled as my only argument hit a dead end, and I scrambled for another excuse. "I just feel bad asking him to waste his time working with me while my level of understanding is so much less." "Nonsense!" Professor Pyro waved me off as she beckoned for me to follow her across the arena towards the two heirs who were still wrestling on the ground, their fight getting increasingly violent. "This will be good for him, too. Melding your power with another phase is a skill that is hard to master, so it'll be a perfect opportunity for him to flex those muscles. It takes a lot of concentration, and it can be really quite intimate, as the two of you will have to strive towards a level of trust so that your magic can work in harmony with one another." Intimate? Gross. Though not as gross as I was trying to convince myself. And trust? She was insane if she thought I'd ever trust him. I'd sooner trust a monkey with a bunch of bananas than believe anything good of him. We came to a halt beside the heirs as Darius pinned Caleb to the ground, his hands tied around the other guy's throat. Caleb was thrashing, trying to get up, but he didn't look likely to succeed. Darius snarled, and the sound was so animal that I almost flinched. He was a predator taking down his prey, and at any moment I could imagine him ripping into Caleb's flesh. Professor Pyro merely watched the interaction with a faint level of interest as Caleb's lips started to turn blue. I opened my mouth, wanting to step in. I mean, Caleb was a total dickwad, but it was starting to look like Darius might kill him, and that was probably going a bit too far. Before I could say anything, Caleb smacked his hand against the ground 3 times, and Darius released him with a smirk. Caleb started laughing, and Darius got to his feet, offering the other heir a hand so that he could pull him up too. "I'll get you next time," Caleb announced as he slapped his friend on the back.
You said that last time,
Darius teased, and for a moment they both seemed, well, not nice, but not entirely loathsome, at least. Or they did until their attention moved to me. Darius's face dipped into a scowl instantly, and Caleb tossed his curly hair back as he eyed my neck hungrily with absolutely zero shame about the fact.
I have a new assignment for you, Mr. Acrox, Professor Pyro announced,
and my heart sank like a stone as I realized there was no way out of this.
Yes, Professor?
Darius asked, his face set with a look suggesting that he couldn't think of anything better than doing whatever she requested of him.
I'd like you to give Tori here some one-on-one tutoring to help her learn to harness that tempest of power within her. I tried to guide her myself, but she needs someone more powerful than me, and as the most accomplished fire weaver in the academy, you were the obvious choice.
Darius's eyes darted to me, and I felt like he'd just plunged a dagger through my chest as the sharpness of his gaze hit me.
Of course, Professor Pyro.
He agreed smoothly.
Only, I do have a full timetable at the moment, so it may be better for her to choose someone else.
Okay, I agreed with a smile that let him know this hadn't been my idea in the first place. Never mind. I began to turn away from them, but Professor Pyro stopped me.
That's not a problem, she said firmly. You can train her on Thursday evenings after dinner, and we can add Mondays if necessary.
Darius's gaze darkened as she stole his evenings from him, and I had to force myself to keep my chin high.
Yes, Professor.
He agreed, finally, and she smiled with satisfaction as she led me away from him. I hadn't said anything, but I didn't think my input would do anything other than possibly make a bad situation worse. As I made it back to where the other freshmen were practicing, I couldn't help but glance back over at the heirs. The two of them were looking at me, and I almost flinched away from the ire in their gaze. Perfect. This day was just getting worse and worse.